You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Mercy. Presented by Finley Roofing on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
How are we on the list? How are we on the list? That's what I want to know. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9. Thank you. Thank you very much. Because everybody's just looking at certain numbers, and I think they're forgetting how good this D-line was last year. Now, look, let me put this in context. SB Nation, love him or hate him if you want to, say that the Dolphins have the worst wide receiver room, worst tight end room, worst DB room in the NFL. But we're on this list. The Atlanta Falcons is having the worst defensive line. Now, I want to go back over this, Mike, because last year we finished 24th in total rushing as far as teams rushing the ball against us. We were not a good run-stop defense. That's
true.
Weren't
we the second best pass and pass rush?
We were. 58 sacks.
Second most sacks in the league, right?
So that's the thing that's bugging Falcon fans. Like, wait a minute, our D-line was actually really good. We were much better than people expected. We lost David Onyemata. We lost We traded Rukororo. Right. Kentavious Street, all these guys are gone. Brandon Dorlus, Mike, 27 tackles, 15 solos, 8.5 sacks from Brandon Dorlus last
year. And missed some games too. And so you need to get the full season. We talked about Jalen Walker, 5.5 sacks with, I did the math when you were off. It was like something like 1,100 snaps for Caden Ellis and just like 430 for Jalen Walker.
Big
so Jalen Walker is going to have an expanded role, especially if James Pierce Jr. is suspended or whatever. But I just think regardless, Jalen Walker is going to shine this year and he's going to be a breakthrough guy.
He said today, words can't explain my excitement for this year. Okay.
Auburn's going to be using him early and often.
Yeah, no doubt. I think this is outrageous. I'll be honest with you. And this is not me being a homer.
You know, as I said, this kind of clickbait stuff, bro, that goes down between now and when the camps start, what's the agenda? What metrics are you using? How can you have the second most sacks and have the second? I mean, have
the worst defensive line.
Now, again, you just mentioned some of the guys that left, but I think the youth movement is what was powering some of those numbers last year.
Well, and look, Zach.
But again, now if you want to say, well, you got 10.5 sacks, just walked out your building because James Pierce Jr. You don't have any. Don't know when he's coming back.
Yeah, but he's good. Okay, you're right. But so
That might be in the equation for why we're 24th.
All right, fine. No, we're 24th in allowing 126 yards per game last year. Right. That number is where we were. We were not top 10, top 15 against the run. Mm-hmm. I get that. All I'm saying is I don't think we got the worst defensive line NFL.
No, I mean, you can't have the second most sacks in the league, even with a guy who's, again, he's not going to miss the entire season, and be the worst defensive line. That makes no sense.
Yeah.
Now, we did have to get bigger with the run game. We do know that, and we do know that we have had teams run right at us and we couldn't stop it. The Colts ran through us like poop through a goose. The 49ers did it too. But now we got a guy. We got a guy. And hopefully Mason Smith, two A's, is going to be the piece that Rook wasn't. That this guy's a bigger body, and he's going to be able to be the plug in the middle.
Yeah, look, I think you exchange two guys. You hope they both work out new situations, right? Neither one was blowing the top off. That's where that's at.
I will. In his defense, Mason Smith had better players ahead of him.
He did.
DT and that Jaguars line.
But you think about the guys that we went and picked up, right? The Chris Williams, and you're going, wait a minute, we did? Yeah, these are all these free agent moves that we talked about a couple of months ago that kind of got lost in the shuffle between that and the draft. And Mike's right. The Mason Smith move, the trade for Rook, that's one thing. But Chris Williams we signed. They went out and tried to address this, by the way, through linebacker signings and through defensive line free agency. I just don't know if we got difference makers. Is this D-line going to be better than it was last year? And are you solely going to base that on whether we get 58 sacks or not?
Well, that's just it. I mean, Deshaun Hand, Mason Smith, and then there's Ontario Thompson.
Draft pick.
Who's a rookie in the sixth rounder out of Washington who's bounced around schools and no one really says he does anything particularly well.
Right.
He's kind of a sum of its parts. Now, maybe we'll catch lightning in a bottle with this guy. This is the first Ian, Cunningham draft. But that's why when we went and did what we did and we picked up A.J. Terrell's brother, Avion, a lot of folks thought there were some really stud defensive tackles there. But they fit. But again, Avion was always ranked higher than those guys, and we took Avion.
Better player. Yeah. Overall, but we're going to take the best player available, and that's allegedly that's what they did, and I think they did do that. 404-726-0929 talking about this. It's just funny to see a reaction from Falcon fans like, hold up. I know y'all want to throw our name in a lot of stuff out here, but wait a minute. The D-line is not one of those areas. If you want to talk about our quarterback room right now being unsituated, great.
Right.
But, like, what we got out of our defense last year was completely unexpected.
No, I mean, this was a defense that, as we said, a year before with Jimmy Lake, it was lost in space. We couldn't stop anybody. We basically turned Bryce Young's career around single-handedly up in Carolina. And now you got a guy in Jeff Ulbrich who's the right man for the job. Now, is he head coach material? Not sure about that, but if he continues the trajectory of this thing, that might be something that happens for him. He's already been the interim for the Jets, but he does coach up the linebackers. The question is going to be the guys that we added who have had chances to be stars in this league but couldn't stay healthy for one reason or another or lost traction, like who is it? The kid, Christian Harris, from the Texans, you know, former Alabama linebacker. Mm-hmm. Is he going to pop for this team? And if he goes with Divine Diablo and really picks up, then you got something. Perkins, the kid out of LSU, was on track to be a superstar in the league before he blew his knee out at LSU. That's somebody that could maybe have a chance at this team.
Yeah, I think again, there's a lot of redundancy, especially at linebacker, and I've told you guys this from the jump. Like, I'm looking at the linebacker room, I'm going, where, outside of Divine Diablo, where's the other dude? Who's, to Mike's point, right, where's the other guy? Now, you may get production across the board, Mike, from all these guys, but look, I don't expect J.D. Bertrand or even Troy Anderson. And by the way, the update on Troy Anderson today, coach said, still not a full go. And I'm like,
it's been a year and a half.
Yeah, but he said,
it's been 2 years practically.
And he goes, we're working through that.
Okay.
Mike, that's out there. Like, that's far out there.
I mean, I always felt they kept him around because they still owed him. So they restructured his deal because when you're on the pup list, you don't get paid, basically, right? So they restructured his deal because they had to pay him one way or the other.
Yeah, didn't.
Look, I mean, we know what he can be when he's healthy, but it's so far removed from when the last time he was healthy. Beating the Saints in 2024.
Yeah, it's just that's when I'm talking about this depth at linebacker. So, again.
And again, Samson Ebukam, Azeez Ojulari, Georgia fans know Azeez. Mm-hmm. You know, just trying to catch, you know, again, these guys are all on one-year prove-it deals, whether they stay here or not. So they will be motivated to kick some butt.
Let's hope so. Sometimes don't believe everything you read, especially if it's on the internet. 404-726-0929. We are a much better defensive line. We are not the worst. Can we improve in the run game? Yes, that's why they went and got bigger guys. That's what Mike was just talking about. They went and got a couple of guys that they feel like, from a size standpoint, is going to help, especially at that nose tackle position, Mike, which is something that, you know, we've talked about. Never really had that a while now.
And, then I felt all the time about Grady. I thought Grady was a better piece in a 4-3 front, but because he's always going to get down the field. Is he the big enough guy to be in a 3-man? I thought he was kind of miscast there. But part of the reason, you know, I think if you want to say why they think we are what we are and whatever, the worst run defense, we have got guys like Zach Harrison. If Zach Harrison was going to be a stud, he'd have popped by now. He's a role player. Yep. He's a rotational guy.
That's it.
You know, but that's where we're living.
All right, man. Coming up, Day-Day, what's on his mind? Also, we will get into what is a very interesting, I think, a developing story. I don't know if this is going to actually get passed, but it's worth talking about. And at 4 o'clock, Mike and I will dive into it because, again, when you talk about a bipartisan college sports bill that is just being proposed.
Right.
And then the next thing you see is, all right, what's in it? And you see salary cap. Immediately, people start losing their minds.
Well, you and I were just talking off the air. If you have a salary cap, well, okay, now you have a CBA. Then you have a union. Then you can go on strike. Then the players, that to me starts a situation that leads you down another road that maybe I think, you know, I don't think people intend to go down that road. Remember, it was years ago, I think, when the Ivy League school said they were going to make a union to go on strike?
Yeah.
I mean, and Northwestern was saying the same thing a couple of years ago. A lot of moving parts, but at least it's got to start somewhere. Yeah, right. It can be a giant block of granite, Carl. We can chisel it down and make it look what it's supposed to look like. But at least somebody's trying, right? And again, you got a Democrat and a Republican working together in Senate, so hopefully that can get something cooking.
Yeah, look, I'm all for the betterment of the sport. But at the end of the day, right now, you're not limiting these athletes to the amount of money they can make. And you're going to tell me that even if without a collective bargaining agreement, Mike, that these guys, these kids right now are going to say, wait a minute, I can only make – well, why is that?
Right.
I got friends on social media who are making way more than I am doing all these crazy things. Why is there a limit on what I'm doing? So I think that's a battle. That's the only reason why I bring that up.
No, that's going to be a lawsuit. That's going to be – you'll have Ed O'Bannon 2.0, right? And there you go again. But at least they're trying to get things rolling. The other thing, which is kind of funny, a lot of moving parts, a lot of nuts and bolts – is pooling the TV money.
Mm.
Okay,
I'm the ACC. I've already got a crappy TV contract. Why am I going to pool my TV resources with the rest of the 138 schools? No way. And then, you know, they're saying that they could get to this threshold of 75%. It's, again, I'll explain it all at four. But why would the Big Ten and the SEC ever sign off on sharing their money when they generate the most ratings?
There's a lot in here. There really is. And again, this is part of the problem when you start going into the minutiae of these bills sometimes. And you start seeing the fine print. And there's a lot of stuff in here. We'll go over it. But it's interesting because, again, to Mike's point, maybe it starts the momentum that maybe is needed to get eventually something done down the road for college football. All right, man. It's Dukes and Bell. Coming up, by the way, we will talk to Grant. We had one of our listeners say, hey, fellas, I heard you guys talking about Kim earlier.
Yeah.
Ed says, fellas, Mike was talking about the fact that he didn't have spring training. Grant mentioned it earlier today. I heard him say it. That, you know, he really didn't have a feel when he was missing all that time in spring training. He's 4-for-38. I haven't seen him hit a ball hard.
No,
that's
not
what
at all.
Ed said.
No, I mean, he's basically like a guaranteed out when he gets to the dish, and he's been very sloppy. I mean, there's two games where they didn't call errors on him that they should have. And so it just, it's a 20. You ate the Aaron Bummer contract. Are you prepared to eat the Hassan Kim? Because how do you, you know, if you, right now you're in a great position.
Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Brayton, we're in it together. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on motherhood, wellness, self-love, and more. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Brayton wherever you get your podcasts.
Position. You know where the record is. You know where you sit with the rest of the division. But Hassan Kim needs to produce. He was cut. Remember, he was out there on the float. That's how they got him last year.
Mike, they got...
He might be washed.
They got money back in this Profar deal, too, though. It's not like the
They're
Braves...
They're not paying him.
No. You got money back there. So, they have options. All right, we'll find out what's on Day-Day's mind. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.